All right. So welcome back to our podcast here at Gateway Church. And we've been in the series on flourishing. And I love the people that we have today with us. We have Kelly Bossy and we also have Jen Clay. And you guys are impacting our city and your marketplaces and your workplaces with what you're doing and how it intersects with your faith. So Jen, I'd love to start with you. How did you get into coaching and how does that kind of align with where you're at and following Jesus? And what are the things that you love about it?
Yeah. So I originally was planning on doing coaching kind of on the side while I was working in digital marketing. And I had been doing that for about 30 years. I loved the idea of helping people, hence the reason why I've been serving a lot. But I was laid off and I decided, you know, I really did not want to go back into the corporate space. I loved coaching. I felt like that was a passion of mine. And so I took the leap of faith, literally, and decided to start my own practice. That was a year ago, year and a half ago. And there was just this nudging all along, you know, that there's definitely something more. That was a passion that I had. And so, yeah, I just knew that that was something that God had put on my heart to go ahead and do. And definitely grateful for that because I don't know if I would have stuck with it for this long without having him in the background.
That's so good. And Kelly, talk to us about what you do, the way you turned to your day job, but also what you get to do volunteering within that workspace.
Yep. So I work at Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook. And my day job is I am a team lead for one of our mid-market sales teams within the entertainment space. So think publishers and sports teams and film studios. And so we really consult with them on their paid digital advertising for our platform specifically. But yes, my volunteer within the company is I work within our Interfaith At employee resource group. So all of these employee resource groups are, you know, different underrepresented minority groups. So Women At or Latin At. And because my faith was so important to me and such a core part of our identity, we always talk about we want to bring your whole authentic self to work each day. And so I wanted to be able to spend time with other Christians and be able to talk about my faith. And similar, you know, sometimes I'm a bit stubborn and God made sure that there weren't any other options but me getting involved here. You know, when I started in Austin, it was like, oh, I want to, you know, get involved with the Bible study and do some things. And the, you know, team that's in charge of this was like, well, there's not an interfaith, so you're going to have to be in charge if you want to have Christians at, you know, group in Austin. I was like, all right. Okay, sure. So did that for a little while. And then one of the girls who led Interfaith at the global level was like, oh, Kelly, you know, I'd gotten to work with her a little bit. Kelly, I'm going to take a short break from the company. Would you mind covering for me in this volunteer space? I said, yeah, sure. What's in a couple months? And then she was like, oh, no, just kidding. I'm not coming back. And, you know, God's led me to a new opportunity. So here I am now leading one of our employee resource groups. And you know, one of the beautiful things about it is we really focus, we call them our four C's, career, company, culture, and community. And so in this position, I get to do everything from create a culture at Meta where people can talk about their faith in a way that, you know, we bust the stereotypes. If it doesn't feel preachy, it's people want to hear about it because they know that it's an officially sponsored employee resource group. But we also get to do fun things like help influence the company policy or products. So not a lot of people know, but within our groups feature now, you can request prayer.
Wow.
And they actually came to our group and, you know, asked us for feedback when they started doing developing. So every step of the way, God made sure that there was no option for me to say no. And at some point, I think I kind of realized, all right, God, you have done some pretty awesome things for me. And I'm just going to keep saying yes until the opportunities dry up.
And that's awesome. Stepping into that small portion where you're like, I don't know, I'll try it. Yeah. I'll cover has led to impact across this company in many, many ways. That's awesome. So as we talk about career a little bit and we talk about purpose, many people think purpose equals career or my job. Like, if I could just get that salary or I could just get that position, I would be satisfied. How would you differentiate the two of purpose versus career? Jen, would you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this idea around like purpose, career, everything playing such a huge role. I mean, when we're kids, we start out, the first question you get asked is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. So it's already like what you're going to be, what you're going to do for a living already has become this identity.
Yeah, my son said dinosaur last week. So
that's helpful.
We're working on that, yeah.
Maybe he wants to work with dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. So so that's one thing. We grow up knowing that, okay, we have to have a job. What is it going to be? But then as we get older, then we're told this is the type of job that's appropriate. Mm. This is not a job. But I feel like, you know, career, work, yes, that's something we do, we need to do. It's part of our identity. But really, our purpose comes from the gifts we've been given, the talents we've been given, the beliefs that we have, and how we contribute to society with that. Mm. So it can be at work.
Yeah.
It can be part of your work. And if your purpose and your work and your career go together, I mean, you can't beat that. But your purpose isn't your career. Your purpose is way bigger
than your career. Great. Kelly, how would you answer that when people are looking for purpose in what they're doing? And I think we're in a time and place where everybody wants to find meaning in everything, right?
Yeah.
Especially after a pandemic where so many things shifted and you put stock into relationships or institutions and so many things just kind of changed. Everybody's like, okay, what are the essential things where I can find meaning and purpose? How would you differentiate that from just going to work? How would you speak to that?
Yeah, great question. Honestly, I have this conversation with some of my direct reports at work all the time. And, you know, we talk about We do this exercise, we call it a vision writing exercise, a year from now. Mm-hmm. Imagine it's a year from now. What do you want to have accomplished? And a lot of people start with, like, I wanted to have done all these things at work. But the longer they go into writing it, all of a sudden they're talking about, hey, here are all the things that I want to do in my personal life. And they start to spend, and a lot of these visions end up where the personal chapter of it is much longer than the work one. And we start to talk about, you know, how are you going to get there? How do you want to make people feel? Who do you want to be known mm-hmm. as? And I think we really talk a lot about that, which again is another great part of where God has put me, is people to have these conversations, especially with people who are early in their career, of 5 or 10 years from now, what do I want to have done? And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, it's a lot less about my job, and it's more mm-hmm. of I want to have started a family. I want to have really, you know, gotten engaged with a nonprofit or things. And so I say that is, I think for me, that was where the differentiation came from, is when I start thinking about longer term, all of a sudden that's where I started talking about my purpose and wanting to change lives around me and make the world a better place than I found it.
I love what you both said. Jen, you mentioned it's much bigger. You talked about how you make people feel, mm-hmm. Kelly, and the impact you make. I think it was Andy Stanley. I read a book. It was called Like a Rock. And he opened up the book with, like, the funeral assignment. Like, imagine Ooh. Yourself, mm-hmm. you're in your funeral. Who's in the first two rows? And what are they going to say? Mm-hmm. And so to help you find, like, kind of reverse engineer your life, if you will, of, like, where do you want to be going? Mm-hmm. And what, you know, what things are people going to say about you? And who's going to be there? I think that helps bring some of that those purpose elements to it.
Yeah.
My next question would be this. Oftentimes at work, and whether we're trying to find purpose, we think, well, I just want something that I'm passionate about. And so where do passions and giftings intersect with your purpose and finding joy? Because a lot of times somebody says, well, I'm passionate about this, but they're not good at it, right? They're not gifted at it. And so, like, hey, maybe this isn't the route for you. Or somebody's really gifted at something, but they've lost the passion. It's just become automatic. So how would you merge passion and giftings when it comes to finding purpose, finding meaning, whether it's at work or outside of that?
Yeah, as a strengths coach, I first say looking at your strengths. So strengths are really, you know, the talents that you, things that you do naturally. And when you invest in them, they become strengths. Mm. These are things that you do really well. Most likely you like them because you do them really well. And the more you invest in them, the better you get at it and the more passionate you become at it. But also looking at the things that you find flow in, those things where you lose time, where you just, it's a little bit challenging, but also, and there's like an outcome, but you just, you can say you become one with the music. Mm. And those are things, you know, maybe there's a task that you do during the day that you can find in that. Or maybe there's, you know, you're saying your son wants to be a dinosaur, right? But there's something about dinosaurs that's there,
oh, he loves
them,
yeah.
So apparently he probably wants to be somehow related to dinosaurs. And so just starting there, what are the things that you love to do?
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. So it's building on your strengths, not just looking at the things you're deficient at, right? But building building on your strengths, and maybe they'll get you there. How could you help a person that's saying, I was passionate about this for the first 20 years of my career, but now I really feel like going into this area, but to the people around them, it might feel like a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. Or they were like, I don't want to be silly. I'm a grown up now. How would you coach that person?
Yeah, and unfortunately—
when the passion changes.
Yeah, well, first of all, your passion can change. I mean, if you want to switch career, I switch careers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people switch careers. You do not have to have one thing that you do in your life. The other thing is a lot of people don't get to follow their dreams and their passions because they are focused on what is the definition of a job, what is the definition of a career. Personally, I think if you make money and it's legal, then it's your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you could do what I, for the longest, was thinking this whole influencer thing was like, oh, that's not a real job. And then I realized, yes, it is a real job.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that people are passionate about. And so I get where it's like, ooh, but I'm not going to make enough money, or I don't know how to do this. Or if you love it, do it. Don't let everybody else tell you what that is supposed to look like. Yeah. And when we bring faith into it, if God put that on your heart,
that's good.
He's going to give you all the tools, everything you need. And the passion makes the difficult work not feel like work.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. Kelly, how would you answer that when it comes to passions and giftings like that you've seen even in your workplace maybe where people are maybe skyrocketing because they have this enormous talent, but there's maybe this emptiness. They're like, I don't even really want to do this.
We don't even call those strengths. We call them skills. Hmm. So the way that we think about strength, it's actually a combination of skill and passion. So if you love it, but maybe you're not good at it, you're passionate there. If you are really, really good at it, but it drains you to do it, we call that a skill. We don't call that a strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
a strength really gives you energy when you're doing it. You feel better after than you did before. And so even if you're really, really good at something, and it could be anything from helping others to filling out expense reports, if you don't love it, that's great. That's a skill. And we can be honest, right? Not every job, you're excited about every aspect of the job, but the goal is to find something where you have those combinations that you mentioned. You know, I think if you're spending time in prayer, you're spending time in the Word, God will show those to you. And I think the other thing that's really important to remember is, and it's funny that you mentioned the influencer stuff, obviously, you know, working at Meta. I think there's a lot of people who get caught up in what is cool or exciting to have as a strength. And I think it's important to remember that God has created each of us to be unique, beautiful individuals, and he's given us all very unique strengths. And so even if you don't necessarily maybe think something is the coolest to talk about, but you love it, I think it's important for you to kind of take a step back and say, if God is calling me in this area, maybe it's going to open up in a way that I could have never expected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if it's your niche, you're the first one to jump into it, take a step of faith. So we've been kind of basing this series on this Harvard study about flourishing. And one of the things that I found unique was when it comes to volunteering, which I know both of you have mentioned that you're a part of, whether at this church or things outside of here as well. But the study mentioned how volunteering in a nonprofit, in a charity, volunteering your time, energy, and resources, it's such a huge part of finding yourself. How have you guys noticed that volunteering or serving has played an impact in your life and in your personal development? I want to start with you, Kelly.
Yep. So it's funny because, you know, this is something that my therapist is a Christian and we talk about is giving back to others is one way to actually get out of a funk. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling stressed or insecure, there is a ton of science that says if you give back and you help others, that that's going to lift your mood. And so, you know, I work with the marketing team here at church. I actually also volunteer as a soccer coach and have been doing so for 6 years. And I mentioned earlier, God makes sure that, like, you know, I'm a little stubborn. He makes sure that I'm very clear on the path that he has. And soccer was another one of those elements where, you know, I've been with some of the boys that I've been coaching for the entire 6 years. And to get to see them grow up as men where they are, gosh, it doesn't matter how bad my day has been. When I'm going to soccer practice or I'm going to a game, I always feel better afterwards. And again, I think God has given me an amazing opportunity. And I think that's important too, right? Sometimes volunteering, it's not always obvious why God has put you there. But mm-hmm. looking back now, I can see some of these boys are just amazing members of society. You know, and you're talking preteen boys, right? Like,
they're not always the most amazing.
Or, oh, my gosh.
Or the best smelling.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I won't even get into the smelling.
They don't even do Natural deodorant.
Yeah, those practice jerseys, ugh.
Yeah.
You can tell when I've had practice. You don't even get near my car. But, yeah, so, like, some of the, you know, woolly practice, the respect that they've had, the way that I get to talk to them about, you know, it's funny, and like loving others life by life, right? I get to have that conversation with them and share, you know, what God has done and how he's created them and growing up. And I think it's an amazing opportunity to be able to have that influence over the younger group, which again, had I not said yes when God said, you can't play soccer anymore, maybe you should, I'd like for you to step up and maybe train the next generation. If I'd been like, nah, I'm gonna take time off and just relax, I would have missed out on this great opportunity to start with this crew that really will, you know, change the world, because then they get to turn around and go be good human beings at school.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And talk to their kids about, and to be honest, over the years, now the team that I have, a large part of it is I started with a couple of the boys, and it's their friends have been so excited that most of our team is like an extended friend group that has all over time wanted to be together because they see how much that these boys enjoy what they're doing. The parents are like, it's a great opportunity. You know, they're really good. They're staying out of trouble, but they're learning about how to be better human beings, not just better soccer players. So I know that's a long-winded answer.
No, that's great. I love that.
You cannot buy the happiness that volunteering gives you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Jen, how has serving or volunteering impacted your growth spiritually and relationally? How have things changed for you?
Well, first, I just have to say, I can sense the passion for it coming from you, and I'm not to just like use a buzzword, but yeah, you start finding passions that you didn't even know that you had. But one of the things that I've been thinking about is the fact that volunteering gives you opportunities for community, for building relationships as well. And, you know, I've seen that in the research, but thinking about it, you know, when I came here to Austin, I didn't know anybody. And I knew I could just come to church on Sunday, go home. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't going to meet anybody that way. And so I decided to jump back into volunteering and started to serve the following Sunday. And my best friends today are from that first day of signing up. We just got off the phone.
And that's awesome.
So that, and then just, I was at Central Campus when, you know, we were kind of moving around and, well, we're still moving around, but being part of the setup team and being able to create this environment, taking and, you know, we were at Brazos Hall or we were at McCallum, taking these spaces that are used for something else and being able to create this environment for worship and serving people in that way was just a whole different way. There was a joy and passion for helping people lead them into that space. And so, you know, when I think of volunteering, there's, you know, being able to do it one-on-one, taking something that you're really good at and you love and being able to go out there. But then there's people that it's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be around people or whatever. There are so many ways to serve and volunteer from the background as well, you know, and taking the focus off of yourself, turning it to other people, but then you end up getting so much more back than you're probably even giving.
Yeah, yeah, the investment, it's always worth the ROI, right?
Yeah.
And I love what I'm hearing from both of you guys as you're in different spaces, but I think the one takeaway as we wrap up for the people is you really do find yourself in giving yourself away.
Mm.
Like you find so much meaning and purpose when you invest in other people. And I think the one charge for anybody who's listening and it's like, man, the work is draining, family's draining, whatever the case might be, is when you take the eyes off of yourself and you really start investing in others, you really find the joy, your joy tanks start to be not just filled, but like overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to find passions you didn't know about and find areas of your life where you're like, I wanna put more time into that. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing, because I think it's inspiring to people. Whether they are a baker, a police officer, a greeter at Walmart, work in ministry, whatever, that they can say, I can make an impact where I'm at and I can find purpose where I'm at. So thank you guys for your example and what you're doing and loving the people around you well, this city well, this church well. We really, really appreciate you. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity.